Sota Perek Zayin Mishneh 7-5. This is the third of the eight topics that must be recited in Lashon HaKodesh, as enumerated back in Mishnah Base. This one referring to the Barachos Uklalos, the blessings and curses that the Levium said at the mountains of Eval and Gerizim when the Jews entered into Eretz Israel with Yehoshua. And the Mishnah begins by saying, Brachos Uklalos Ketzad. Now, Ketzad here operates and functions as the word Ketzad normally does, meaning how did they go about doing this Brachos and Klalos? In other words, it doesn't mean from where do we know that it had to be in Hebrew, as we had in previous Mishnayos, the last two. And ironically, this Mishnah actually won't even say how we know it's true. In fact, you have to refer back to what I said in the previous Mishnah, and the one before, that the there's a Gezeirah Shava that says that the Levium, they had to, Va'anu HaLevim Va'amru, and they had to respond, speaking up, saying, and it was in a kol ram, in a loud voice. That's what it says in Devarim Chav Zayin regarding the Brachos and Klalos. And when it talks about Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem giving the Torah back in Shmos Yotes, it says Moshe Yidaber Velokim Ya'anenu Bakol. Hashem spoke to Moshe Bakol, with a voice, I'll call it. And there's a Gezer Shava from Kol to Kol, teaching just as Hashem spoke in Lashon HaKodesh when he told the Torah to Moshe, so too did the Levium speak Lashon HaKodesh when they said the Brachos and Klalos. Okay, so that's not even mentioned in the Mishnah, for whatever reason. But now we're going to explain how the Brachos and Klalos played themselves out, how it actually this episode occurred when the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael, as you see there in Sefer Yehoshua, and which was commanded actually twice in the Torah, back in the beginning of Parshas Re'eh, really in Perek Yud Aleph, there it says, after presenting the clause with Brachos and Klalos, Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, and when you go into Eretz Yisrael, you'll have to go to Har Gerizim and Har Eval and deliver these blessings and curses. And then in Parshas Kisavo, later on, in Perek Chav Zayin, chapter 27, it then enumerates, you know, this procedure and the specific what end up being 12 blessings and curses that have to be recited there. So here the Mishnah will enumerate how that played itself out. So, Brachos Uklalos Ketzad, Kevin She'avru Yisrael Esa Yarden, when the Jews crossed over the Jordan River, entering into Eretz Yisrael for the first time, under the leadership of Yehoshua. Uvo el har Gerizim ve'el har Eval shebeshomron. They went to Har Gerizim and Har Eval, which is in the Shomron, meaning sort of like north of Israel, kind of as far north, let's call it, as like Herzliya is today, so it's south of the Kinneret still. Shebetzad Shechem, Shebeitzel Alone Moreh, that is beside the city of Shechem, which is still there today, of course, and where Yosef Atzadik is buried and so on. So now, the first topic that the Mishnah wants to address is where the Brachos and Klalos happened. So our Mishnah here goes like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds it happened at good old-fashioned Har Gerizim, Har Eval, as the Pesukim mandated, which is by Shechem, which is also referred to as Alone Moreh, and we're going to take an excursus for a moment. We're going to talk about the proof that Alone Moreh and Shechem is the same thing in the same place. It's in the center of Israel, and we'll have like a proof for that in a moment. Now, there's actually a three machlokas Tanaim regarding this point. So Rabbi Yehuda, like our Mishnah, holds that they said it at Har Gerizim and Har Eval, which is right kind of in the center of the country, meaning it's quite far west of the Jordan River. And well, that's fine, because there are like a whole host of miracles that happen on this day with this whole procedure, as we'll describe. So this is one of the miracles was that they managed to get across half the country width-wise, maybe as much as like 60 mil in walking distance over those mountains, whatever that is, you know, to get to, like, those tens of kilometers, to get to those mountains all in the same day they crossed the river. There are others who don't say that's possible, especially since they had to bring these gigantic rocks from the Jordan River bed when they crossed the Jordan, the water stopped. And miraculously, that's part of the miracle there, you see in the beginning of Yehoshua, and they took enormous stones from that riverbed, and they would use them to write some kind of Mishneh Torah, some repetition of the Torah on it. So not only did they walk a great distance, they also carry these enormous stones, which makes it more miraculous, and therefore it seems that other Tanaim don't understand the story quite as literally as Rabbi Yehuda, as our Mishnah does here. Rabbi Elazar disagrees in the Gemara, and he says that the Har Gerizim and Har Evil that this happened at was something close to the Jordan River, meaning on the far east, far east of the, I'll call it, conventional Har Evil and Har Gerizim. In other words, essentially there were two Har Gerizims and Har Evils, and this is happening at the other one, the lesser one, that's close to the Jordan River. There's another approach, Rabbi Shmuel, who understands that the mitzvahs that have to be done when they enter the land actually kick in after the kibush and chalukah, the conquering and distribution of the land amongst the Shvatim, which took 14 years. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, the whole thing's not a problem, that Har Gerizim and Har Evil is far away from the Jordan, because the mitzvah to do it when they entered the land was 14 years later, and they had plenty of time to amass, gather themselves way over there. Whatever the case is, we're going back to Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah, and he understands it's just miraculous how they got there, and exactly where it is next to Shechem, which is also called Elone More, and now the Mishnah will prove that is the case. His proof is because it says he's quoting from Devarim back in Re'e when it gives the mitzvah about doing this in the first place, when Moshe Rabbeinu said it. It says, Halo Hema Be'eva HaYarden, and it says, specifies there, when you're going to do it crossing the river, of Jordan River, Eitzel Alone Moreh. The Pasuk says, do it by Elone Moreh. Ula Halan, and in another place, meaning by Avram Avinu, when he was doing his travels. This is a Pasuk I'm just going to quote now, who Omer, the Pasuk says in Bereishis, Perik Yud Beis, Pasuk Bav, so it's 12:6. Quote, V'yavor Avram Ba'aretz, Avram Avinu, as we know him today, traversed to the land, Ad Mokom Shechem, Ad Elon Moreh. He went all the way north. This is, Shechem was the most northern place where he built, of his four altars that Avram Avinu built, Shechem was the farthest north, and Ad Elon Moreh, it's the same place. You see that Elon Moreh and Shechem is two names to the same place, so we're bringing that to say similarly over here, that the Har Evel and Har Gerizim, which was way up there, Elon Moreh and Shechem, same place. Mishnah says, Ma Elon Moreh Hamor Lahalan, just as the Elon Moreh that we said over there by Avraham was Shechem, Af Elon Moreh Hamor Kan, same when it says Elon Moreh in our Pasuk, meaning back in Re'ei, in Devarim, it's also Shechem. Okay, that was a side point. Now, the proof of that they're the same place, Shechem and Elon Moreh. Now, we're going to go on to say, it says the Mishnah, how did they do it? Shisha Shvatim Alal Rosh Har Gerizim. Six of the 12 tribes went onto Har Gerizim. They ascended it. That's how Rabbi Yehuda learns. Vishisha Shvatim Alal Rosh Har Evel. And another six went onto Har Evel, two separate mountains on kind of either side of Shechem, the valley there. The psukim in the Chumash tell you who goes where of the 12 Shvatim. The 12 include Levi, which gives rise to a question, because now the next line of the Mishnah says, "Vokohanim v'Leviim v'Aaron omdim lamata be'emza." In the, I'll call it, town between the two mountains, the Kohanim and the Leviim and the Aaron stood at the bottom in the middle. So that means you have a question. Wait a second. So the Gemara asks this question. It says, "Wait a second. Were the Leviim on the mountain? Because the Pasuk says they should be there on Har Gerizim, or are they in the middle?" So there are different answers given in the Gemara. Two of the three answers basically say that it's just some of the Leviim were on and some Leviim were down at the bottom, depending on a couple of factors. A third pshat is al doesn't mean on, but next to. Whatever the case is, resolving that aside, the Kohanim makifin es ha'aron, the Kohanim stood in a circle around the Aron HaBris, and the Leviim es ha'Kohanim, the Leviim stood in a circle, like an outer circle, around the Kohanim, like kind of like concentric circles, if you will. V'chol Yisrael mekan mekan, and then the rest of the Jews were surrounding further away, half of them, so to speak, on Har Evel, and half of them on Har Gerizim. Shnei Amar, as the Pasuk says, V'chol Yisrael, all the Jews, Uzukeinav, including the elders, V'shotrav, and it's, however that's translated, police, whatever, V'shoftav, and its judges, Omdim Mizeh Umizel La Aron, they all stood on either side of the Aron, etc. Vegomer. Now, Hafchu Panehem Klape Har Gerizim, they, meaning the Leviim, turn their face towards Har Gerizim. Ufaschu habravracha. They start out by saying a bracha. So you'll see in a moment what happens is the psukim in Kisavo enumerate 12 different issues. The Mefarshim give different explanations of why these are the 12, I'll call them mitzvahs, that we enumerate. It seems these are the kind of things people do in private, so they have to sort of warn people. These are the kind of things that people who are in power do, so we're warning against people taking advantage of whatever power they have in the new society as they get into Eretz Yisrael. And the Levim are putting everyone on notice, you know, not to do those kind of things. And what happens is for each of the 12 mitzvahs, they first say, blessed are the people who do it right, and then everyone says amen on both sides, both mountains. Then they turn their face to the other mountain, Har Evel, and they say, cursed is anybody who does it wrong. And then everyone says, amen. Okay, so the idea is, it's not that the people on one mountain or other are giving blessings or receiving blessings. That's not what's happening. Or curses, giving curses or receiving curses. No, they're just like all of Klai Yisrael acting together, saying, like re-accepting a covenant, a second covenant, a renewed covenant, that they're going to do everything the Torah says, as sort of essentially symbolized by these 12 issues. So what happens is, the first of the 12, the Mishnah will illustrate here. It says, so hafchu paneim klape Har Gerizim. First they face towards Har Gerizim, the Levim did. Ufaschu bavracha, they start out with the blessing for the curse. And they said, baruch ha'ish asher lo ya'aseh fesel umasecha. Blessed is the man who does not make a idol or a molten graven image. And then, the elu ve'elu, everybody, meaning the Jews on both of the mountains, Onin, amen. They both say, yes, amen, they agree. And then, hafchu paneim klape Har Eval. Then the Levim turned the other direction towards Har Eval. Ufaschu beklala. And then they started out the curse. And they said, Aru ha'ish asher ya'ase fesel umasecha. Cursed is the man who makes a idol or a molten image. Ve'elu ve'elu, onin, amen. And then again, everybody on both mountains agree, saying amen. And they repeated that all 12 times, ad shegomrin brachos uklalos, until they went through all of the 12 mitzvahs that are listed there in Kisavo. Ba'achar kach, after they did the brachos and klalos, heviu es ha'avanim, they took these gigantic stones which had been taken from the river bed that they crossed when they crossed the Jordan, the Jordan River bed there. Uvanu es ha'mizbeach, and they built an altar out of those stones. Visaduhu besid, they then plastered the stones that were making the mizbeach. There's a machlokas actually, and then it says v'chasvu alav eskol divrei haTorah b'shivim lashon. And then they wrote the Torah down in 70 languages. Shneimar be'er hetiv. The pasuk specifies it has to be like well explained, which they understood to mean explain all the languages. So whoever wants to learn can learn all 70 languages. So, there is a machlokas, again, the Tanaim, what happened first? Did they write it on the rock itself and then cover the writing with plaster, or did they put plaster on first and then write on top of the plaster? At all events, whatever happened first or second, if you're going to say, wait a second, if it's like Rabbi Huda that they put it on the rock and then plastered it, so then how is that going to work? The answer is the plaster can come off easily to be read or whatever, and you can get copies of the plaster. V'nalu es ha'avanim, then they, after they finished their korbanos and as the psukim require and celebrating, then uvau v'lanu b'mkoman, then they took those 12 stones and erected them in their permanent place, which is in Gilgal, back kind of by the Jordan, where they set up the Mishkan, and it was there for a time. So they were put these stones there as like a testament to what they had done to stay at Gilgal and a message to the world. The Jews are now come to Eretz Yisrael. This is what we're committed to. Everyone's welcome to learn and see and know. And this is what we stand for. And this was the day when they sort of made this sort of, you know, declaration pledging allegiance to the Torah and these values. And then they set it up, all done by a series of miracles. And in fact, the Gemara in Sota speaks out like how many miracles had to happen on that day for this all to work out the way it did. But that's exactly what happened.